Time is the fire in which we burn. For those of you maybe a little more nerdy than others, you'll say that's from the movie Star Trek Generation. For those of you who are maybe a little more historical, you might recognize it's actually the words of a poet named Delmar Schwartz, a 19th century American poet. Said, time is the school in which we learn, time is the fire in which we burn. I wonder how many of us are carrying some sort of a timepiece. We're on a watch, got your phone handy, so you got your time. How many people know, or at any given time, what time it is? Oh yeah, I've got to know. For years and years and years, I wore a watch, I couldn't be separated from it. Now I keep my phone close to me. But you've got to know what time it is, right? You've got to know where you are. And think of it as something that's going to inform us and help us get through our day. But at some point, it actually begins maybe to control us, right? It begins to be the boss. It begins to dictate what we do. As early as 200 BC, Plautus, a Roman playwright, wrote, "The gods confound the man who first found out how to distinguish hours. Confound him too who in this place set up a sundial to cut and hack my days so wretchedly into small portions." That pesky sundial, right? A little more recently, historian Daniel Boorstin discussing the invention of the clock with hour, minute, and eventually second hands. Wrote this. He said, "Here was man's declaration of independence from the sun. New proof of his mastery over himself and his surroundings. Only later would it be revealed that he had accomplished this mastery by putting himself under the dominion of a machine with imperious demands of its own." Do we feel this? Do we feel the time crunch in our life? Trying to keep up with the things that we do? Do we find that we are at the mercy of the calendar, or the clock, or the to-do list? Does it eat up our life and demand from us more than we want to give? Are the demands of what we believe we need to get done in a given day more than we can manage? Or maybe we can manage it today, and then we've got to do it all again tomorrow, and all again the next day. And it just wears on us, day after day after day, trying to keep up with what we're doing. Because our time is overloaded. Last week we started talking about this idea of margins, creating margins in our life. We begin to understand so many different aspects of our life are just overloaded. Our time, our finances, our lifestyle, our behavior, these things that we have pushed to the very limit of what we believe we can do because we're afraid that we're going to miss out on something. We're afraid that we're going to be weighed and measured and we're going to come up wanting. We're afraid that other people are going to be disappointed because we're not able to keep up with their expectations. And so we push ourselves and we push ourselves and we push ourselves. And we think that we're living at the edge of what we can do, but we can only do that for so long, and we find that really what we're living is beyond the edge of what we can do. We're living overloaded. And so we talked about this idea of creating margin in our life. That margin is the space between our current performance and our limits. And God wants that margin to be there. And our lives are so much easier to handle, so much lighter when we have that kind of margin in our life. But it's so hard for us to get it there. And if it's there, it's so hard to maintain it because there's so many different voices, so many different demands, so many different opportunities in this world that cry out for our attention. And we generally give in. This margin, though, is also the space that allows God to work because it's the space in our life in which we're listening, in which we're able to say, okay, God, what do you have for me? It's our space where we can worship, or we can read the Bible, or we can pray, or we can listen, and where we can be responsive, where God can say in the moment, this is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you today. This is someone who needs some help today. This is a direction I want you to go. And we can say, okay, I can do that. Not, I don't have time for that. I can't afford that. I've got so many other things that are already expected from me, God. I'm sorry, you've got to give me at least 6 weeks notice, God. You can't be pulling this on me at the last second. Yeah. Margin gives us space to listen to God and be responsive. And yet it's so hard for us to get it. So this morning we're going to look a little bit at the way that we use our time. And a little visual aid here, we're going to talk about our day. I'm sure most of us probably keep some sort of a calendar, either on your phone or on your wall or in your head, or you keep some sort of a to-do list. But you know exactly what it is that you're supposed to get done in a given day, right? So I've got my day starting at 6. I recently heard a rumor that there's actually time before that. I'm not convinced. So we're going to start at 6. And I've only gone until 8. And I know some people at night, you may still be going past then to try to get everything in. But this is what fit on the paper. So this is how long our day is. So we're going to think about, you know, what do we do in a day? And, of course, the thing that probably takes up the largest portion of most of our day is our job, right? Our work. And this, we're going to think, you know, pretty basic. You know, we're going to think this guy or this person gets to work a 9-to-5 job and even gets a lunch break. So that's pretty easy, right? And probably that's kind of banker's hours. That's probably what people did, you know, had 20, 30 years ago. And probably most of us start a little earlier, go a little later, and an hour for lunch is probably pretty crazy for us. But we're going to do that. And we're like, all right, that's pretty easy to manage, right? And I've got all this other time in my day that I can get things, I can do things. But of course, a lot of us, first, before we can even get to work, is we've got to get the kids up and off of school, right? I got to get them up. In my house, that takes half an hour just to get them out of bed. And got to get them dressed, got to get them breakfast, and got to get them off to school. So that's probably like an hour every morning that's spent getting those kids out of the house and where they need to be. All right, so got to start about 8 so that we can get to work by 9. And then we think, all right, well, today, you know, I've got to run by the store, got to pick up a few things. Milk, you know, has to stay cold, so it's got to be on the way home. So we'll get it on the way home there, and we'll stop by the store and pick up a few things. And, the car needs washed. You know, I don't need a whole hour for lunch, so I could run by the car wash while I'm out getting lunch and get that taken care of. And, yeah, things are still looking pretty good. I'm going to be home even probably before 6. I know the lawn needs mowed, so I'm going to get that done this evening. And we're going to mow. And everything's looking pretty good. We're going to get everything in. All right. And then, you know, our spouse reminds us, well, tonight we've got small group. Oh, I don't write that on my calendar, so I forgot about it. But, you know, I want to do that. So, let me know what could, okay. Well, what if I get up really early and I mow the yard in the morning? It's not the best time because there's dew. Is there dew here? I don't even know. It's like it's a desert. Okay, but so it's gonna be wet, but I can get it done. I'll have to squeeze in a shower, and the kids are really gonna have to get themselves going. But I can get this done, and then we can make it, and we can be the small group. All right, so I can manage this. All right, this is my day. It's all gonna work out now, and then the unexpected things start happening, right? Because you get the phone call, and your friend's like, hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. Can we do lunch? Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I could squeeze that in. I don't have to wash the car today, and we'll get lunch, and I can squeeze that in, and it'll be okay. And it'd be great to see you, so I want to do that. And then, you know, well, we get back from lunch. It's like, all right, everything's good. Car's dirty, but I can do it later, you know. And then our spouse calls, our wife calls, and she's like, I'm running late. Can you pick up the kids from school? What? How am I going to do that? The kids get out at 3:30. I don't even get off work till 5. So suddenly I've got to go and pick the kids up and get them going and get them home. And then, you know, I have to cut off work So I'm going to end up having to take work home with me and maybe get a couple of things done there so that I can keep up with what I have to do there. And small groups out now, we're not going to make it at all because I've just got too much to do and my day is blown. And we get to the end of the day and it's like, how did I ever not get done the things I wanted to get done, and how did I get through this? And then there's something else that we have to think about. And that's because we have this thing. Right? And we think about technology as supposed to be like this space-saving or time-saving device, but really it's a time-consuming device. Because all day long, it keeps going off, right? Ding, ding, ding. You got a text, and suddenly you're included in a group text, and there's 14 people that are all responding about trying to put something together on Saturday. And every time it dings, you got to check it and make sure, you know, what's going on with the next thing. And then ding, 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 you got another email. And it's an email from Facebook telling you that a lot has happened since you were on Facebook. And so you've got to go, what happened? And you've got to check on Facebook. And, of course, nothing happened. But you think it does. And so suddenly, all this, like, it comes in on this work time, right? And we start checking our phone, and we start, you know, checking Facebook, and that takes an hour. And then suddenly we find out we've got an hour worth of free lives on Candy Crush, and, you know, you don't want to lose out on it. So you got to get that in there. And then there's a quiz to tell you, you know, which Avenger you're the most like. I'm Thor, by the way. And we get to the end of our day, and we're like, I didn't get anything done. I was at work, but I didn't get anything done, and I managed to get, you know, keep up with some things, but I couldn't get everything done, and this is what an overloaded life looks like. And then we start thinking, well, what are the things in an overloaded life that get left out? I know this sounds maybe a little heavy-handed, but I look at this, and I'm like, where is play Barbies with my daughter? Come on. Where is spend a couple hours with my spouse and let her choose what we do? How do we do those kind of things? Where is spend some time with God? Where is read my Bible or pray? And so we've come up with this thing. I don't know if this is just an American, this is probably all the way around the world, at least in the Western world, but we've got this great box that we put at the bottom of our calendar called Later. And we stick it down here, and everything goes in there. I can play with my daughter later. I can spend time with my spouse later. I can spend time with God later. And all these things that I didn't get done on there, they go into the later box. And the wonderful thing about the later box is that it's unlimited, right? It doesn't have all these hours that we have to fit in. It's unlimited. And we can just keep putting things in the later box. The bad thing about the later box, though, is a lot of it never really comes out. We might sift through some things later on. We might finally get to a day off. We get to Sunday, and we start to pick a few of those things out and get the car washed or whatever I missed. But there's some of those things that just stay in there, and they just simmer in the later box, and they never get touched. And it seems like maybe some of those things are really the most important. Because we're living this life that's overloaded in our schedule, and we're not paying attention to some of these things. And we start to, it starts to have effects on us, and we start to feel fatigued, and we start to feel irritable, and we start to feel stressed out, and we start to lash out at other people around us that don't deserve it because they didn't have anything to do with it. But suddenly it's our family, and it's our relationship with God, and it's our friendships that are suffering because we can't keep it in, we can't keep up with it, and we keep throwing it in the later box. And then we get into a place where, like, I don't know how I got here. And I don't know how to get back. And this is the way that many of us live our lives. This is the American way to live life, is to just fit everything in and make it work. And it seems like when we're living like this as well, we have tunnel vision. Because all we're focused on is just getting through that to-do list. All we're focused on is what comes next, what's on my calendar, what's my phone dinging for this time. And that's what we're focused on. And we miss the things that may be really important that are around us, and we miss those God moments. We miss those times when God wants to bring something to our attention, or He wants to, whether it's just a reminder to see something beautiful that He's done, or whether it's something that He's asking us to do, an opportunity that He puts in front of us. We miss those things because all we're doing is focused on trying to keep up with what we need to do. We need to figure out how to have margin in our schedule. Well, I want to look at some verses in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, kind of to see God's perspective on this. And I think, you know, anybody can look at this and say, I need to work on this. I need to have some time. I need to have some downtime. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, I think there's a little more to it because we want to be able to be responsive to God and we want to see how God has had us to use our time. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 5 and read verses 15 through 17. This passage leading up to this, he's kind of talking about living as Christians in the world and the darkness that's around us and some of the difficulties and the challenges that we have. And then he adds this. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So first he says, be careful how you live, or be careful how you walk. Be careful about the things that you're putting into your life. Be careful about the way that you're spending your time. Be careful about what goes on your calendar. Pay attention and be intentional about what you put in, and about what you don't put in. Maybe we need to have a to-do list and a to-don't list. And maybe we need to start thinking about some things that are less important and figuring out how to take them off or put them in the later pile and let them sit there for a while and pay attention more to the things that really matter. Be careful about how we live. Be careful about what goes on the calendar. And he talks about the difference between being wise and unwise. This is unwise. The way that we do it, where we have a calendar and we put the things that are urgent on there, we put the things that are yelling for our attention on there, and then anything else that possibly comes up, any possibilities, we look for a blank space. And if there's a blank space, we write it in there. Right? Like our friend calls, it's a good thing, have lunch with your friend. I've got a blank space. I can put that in there. Anything that comes along, whatever order they come along to us, we put them in the next blank space that we can fit it in. And that's how we manage our time. That's just the typical way to do it. That's the unwise way to manage our time. And that's the way to fill up absolutely every single day, all day long, and get to the end and not know what we did. Wise is letting God be the Lord of our calendar. Letting God be in control. Asking Him, what's important? What are the things that you really want in my life? What I think we'll find is that God wants less in our life. God wants less because He can do more with less. He doesn't need us to go 100 miles an hour all day long in order to somehow just keep up. God can provide anything and everything that we need if we trust Him. So wise is turning to God and letting Him be the Lord of the calendar. It's redefining productivity. Because we think productivity is doing as much as we possibly can. And God is saying, no, you just do the right things. It's not about how much you do, it's about what you do. It's about do the things that I have for you, that I put in front of you. And then Paul also tells us to make the most of every opportunity, but he balances that with understanding the Lord's will. See, there's lots and lots of opportunities all around us. Lots of things that cry out for our attention. And he says, the days are evil. The days are evil. That means the world around us is so full of so many different deceptions, so many different things that pull us astray, so many different things that demand our attention that aren't going to do anything for us. Some of them may be really negative. Some of them may be really dark. Some of them may pull us away from God. Some of them may just fill up our time so that we don't even have time to pay attention to what God has for us. Take advantage of the opportunities in front of us, but balance it by understanding God's will. That means there's lots of good things around that we don't necessarily have to do. Because we could fill up our time, all of our time, and more and more and more with good things to do. But every good thing is not something that God has called to put into your life. There are things that God has for somebody else to do. There are things that God has that aren't for you right now. There may be even good things that you've done in the past that God doesn't necessarily want you to continue to do. Those that have a season. And now we move on and we see what is it that you have in my life now. Paying attention, allowing God to be the Lord of our calendar, means that we go, even with the good opportunities that come, that first we seek to know what His will is. Is this an opportunity you want me to pursue? Or is this something you've got that somebody else is doing? And I will admit the church is really bad at this. Because the church has so many wonderful, good things that we do. And of course we need volunteers to do them. And we can end up unintentionally putting a lot of pressure, a lot of manipulation even on people, that you've got to be a part of everything. If the doors are open, you need to be here. If we're going to do this, everybody needs to be involved. And sometimes that's not for all of us. Those things are for some of us, and God has some of those things, and some of them are for somebody else. So we need to learn to pay attention to what God has for us. And we need to learn even to put blank spaces on here on purpose. And it's okay for it to be blank. Creating margin in our life isn't lazy. It's actually setting ourselves up to responding to God's direction and doing the right things that He has. So just a few little things that might help us to start changing, to start moving in this direction. Of course, the easy thing to do is to just say, I need to do less. But that's a lot easier said than done, right? We can't just say, okay, I'm doing less now. And everybody around us is like, well, wait. You used to do this for me, and you used to do that, and why aren't you doing that anymore? And, oh, well, I guess that was a good thing. I'll go ahead and do it. And pretty soon we'll just find that our schedules all fill up again. So a few little ideas to help us to actually do less. One is redefining productivity. Beginning to understand that if we do the right things, if we do the things that God calls us to do, then that's where we need to be. And we don't have to just do everything. We simply do the things that God calls us to do. We need to learn how to say no. How to say no. And that's such a hard thing for us to do because we care about the people that are asking, or because we care about people that have needs. And it's so hard for us to say no. But we have to learn to have those boundaries. We have to learn to have a blank space in our schedule and protect it and say, no, this is the time that I have set aside as downtime. This is the time I've set aside that I'm going to spend with God. This is the time that I have set aside to regain my sanity, and I'm going to protect it. Or to say no because I'm moving in a different direction. God has something else that He's having me to do. And there's going to be somebody else that's going to meet your need. But it's not going to be me because it's just not what God has called me to do. We need to learn how to cut back on our activities. Because there are so many things, and maybe the things that brought us great joy or that were helpful for us in the past, and maybe now they're more wearing, but we don't know how to let them go. Or maybe they're really good things and we enjoy them, but they're just taking up our time. And we need to learn how to cut back and allow ourselves that downtime. And parents, I've got to say, we need to learn to do that with our kids. Because not only is it eating up our time to get them to 8 different sports games and 4 different clubs and 12 birthday parties every weekend, it's teaching them to live without margin too. And it's teaching them so that when they grow up, they're going to live crazy busy lives just like we do. And most of them are living crazy busy lives even now. It's hard, I know. We think all these opportunities and we want them to find their niche and we want them to discover new things. It's okay to say, pick one. It's okay to say, you know, you choose this sport, that means you don't play this sport. Or you go to one birthday party, it doesn't mean you go to the other 3. Sometimes we have to teach them how to have that time. And we have so many kids that are going all day long to the point that maybe they're not even getting to their homework till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night because they have so many different things. And we tell them that's what they're supposed to be doing, right? We tell them they're supposed to be keeping up with it because that's the way that we live. We need to learn how to cut back on our own activities and help our kids learn to do that as well. We need to learn to control the demand of our technology. It's not helping us. We've got to learn to be the master over it. I know as parents, a lot of us, maybe we limit our kids' screen time, right? Do we limit our screen time? Are we willing to say, this is the time set aside to do this and no more? I think one of the strange points of honesty with our Netflix and streaming media and so forth is that now we call it binging. It used to be you would turn on a cable station and it was a marathon, right? And it sounded like it was actually an exercise. You watch 12 hours of Law and Order and you feel pretty exhausted, but it wasn't good for you. Now we actually call it binging. But binging is not a good word, is it? Binging is actually pretty, have you ever known a binge to be a good thing? It's become a normal thing in our society, but maybe we need to learn how to turn it off. Facebook, it's not a huge thing for me, but I know, you know, a lot of people have a hard time because you get on there and suddenly you've been on there for an hour, you've been on there for 2 hours. Maybe we need to set a timer, 20 minutes, whatever it is you think you can do. And when that's done, you're done with Facebook for the day. I took Facebook off my phone because I got sick of it beeping at me all the time. So I go on my computer, and when I open Facebook, then it's there. When I close it, it's gone. Video games. It's great, but you get down here to 8, 9 o'clock and finally turn it on, and then it's 2 a.m., right? So many different things that are out there that just take up our time. We have to be the master of it. We have to be the master, even the technology and what it's doing, to take over our time. And the last thing then is just to give yourself a greater margin of error in what you do. Because nothing takes the amount of time it takes, right? Everything takes longer than you think it does. Everything takes longer than it takes. And you look at this and you're like, there's no drive time on there. There's no, you know, you gotta go to the bathroom. There's, you know, you don't need to put on a calendar. But I'm saying, give yourself leeway. Give yourself extra time to do things. And then when you have those moments in the day, enjoy it. When you have moments where you're like, I don't have to do anything for 15 more minutes. It doesn't mean you just get a faster start on what you do. Right? You sit back and enjoy it. Relax. Take a breath. Pray. See where you're at. Pay attention. Enjoy that and rest a little bit. Start just a little bit, trying to build a little more margin into your life. And open your eyes, open your heart to what God will do in that time. And I think we'll be amazed at the things that God does in our life when we're not working as hard as we used to. Next week we're going to talk about a very special gift that God has given us to help us with margin error time called a Sabbath rest. Great gift that He has given us to help us every week to be able to recharge and to refocus on His truth and on what He has for us. For now, start thinking about just the little things in your day. What can you do to back down a little bit? Give yourself a little more margin. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank You so much that we can trust You to meet our needs and that we can trust You to be working in our life, that You can take, when we focus on Your business, that You can take and provide for our business. And Lord, that You don't demand more, but that You encourage us instead to look to the right things to do. Lord, help us to have a mindset that is more focused simply on a relationship with You and on what You're doing around us, instead of this mindset of getting it all packed in, doing as much as possible, keeping up with everybody else around us. Lord, just give us a different mindset about how we use our time, about what we do with our calendar. Help us to trust You to be the Lord of our calendar. And Lord, show us something amazing when we do that, of what You can do in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.